it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Hey, 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 welcome back, everyone. It's 4:02 in the Pacific Time Zone. Time for Toker Talk Radio, where we let what's left of my hair down, loosen the tie, and just chill out with our friends here in 420 land. Thanks for joining us, and if you're out there listening, remember, you can get into the 420 Radio chat room. Just visit 420radio.org, click on that live chat button. And if you're listening on the app, my apologies that it's not a part of the app yet. But that'll be the next development of the 420 Radio app, is we'll add the chat room in there. We're still looking for which chat software code is going to work best for us. But we'll get that for you just as soon as we can. And big thanks out there to Anthony Johnson for joining us for the interview earlier today. If you missed it, it's coming up again in the replays at 6 p.m. Pacific time. You can also download it on the 420 Radio app the next day once it's post in the podcast. And you can find my interview clips now on our new SoundCloud page, which you can find at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. I'll have that Anthony Johnson interview up there shortly. All right, so I have to tell a story. I've been giddy all day waiting to tell you this story. I was so thrilled. I went into fanboy mode, and it happened last night. Let me just break it down for you, okay? So I received an online message from an attorney I know from Canada, whose name is Kirk. Kirk Tusaw is his name. And is a very well-respected attorney in our movement. In fact, has argued before the Supreme Court of Canada. And the last time I remember seeing Kirk was in Seattle on election night 2012. He was there celebrating along with Jody Emery and a few other folks from the Pot TV crew up there in Vancouver. They were in Seattle with me. I was covering the Initiative 502 election for our election night coverage. And of course, Rick Steves is there and Allison Holcomb's there and all of that, right? And I remember that night because it was remarkable for the fact that when marijuana legalization won and we kind of went to the after party, all the people who were part of the 502 campaign were drinking cocktails. Most of them aren't marijuana consumers. And so they were just drinking cocktails. And I remember turning to Kirk and we're looking at each other like, he's from Vancouver, British Columbia, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. We're like, where's the weed? Well, we just legalized pot. Shouldn't there be some pot smoking going on? And it was weird. We had to go outside and find us some place to smoke pot, me and the Canadians, right? So Kirk gets in touch with me yesterday via text or social media, I forget which. He says, hey, you know, me and some other Canadian friends are in town in Portland. They're down investigating, you know, what's our legalization like? What are the business opportunities? Maybe we'll develop something here, you know. And they wanted to meet with me, kind of pick my brain, find out, you know, what's happening in Oregon. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll meet you guys. And so We agreed to meet last night at our local wings place, called Fire on the Mountain. It's kind of got a, you know, Grateful Dead vibe to it. And they make some fantastic chicken wings, and they make their own micro-brewed beers, their own craft beers. So my Canadian friends were just thrilled by this. They had a chance to drink, you know, different neat craft beers and enjoy some of the best wings in the Northwest. Kirk ordered a plate of 100 wings. We got four different sauces on them: Jamaican jerk, raspberry habanero, hot sauce, and what was the other one? I can't remember. But anyway, good night, right? So I get there. My wife and I go there, and we meet up with Kirk, and he's there with three friends. One of his friends is a local from Portland, and his other two friends are from Canada. Kirk and his friend had gone to Michigan State University, right? So they're Michigan State Spartans. And of course, as things go with conversations with guys, things kind of turn to sports, right? And we're talking sports, and I talk about how I'm a huge Green Bay Packers fan, and Kirk's a Detroit Lions fan because he's from Michigan, and this guy, his friend from Portland, is a Bears fan, right? Okay. And then Mark, one of the other guys, was a Cowboys fan, and Jason, the other guy, I didn't really catch who he was a fan of, right? Now, I knew Mark. I knew Kirk. I didn't know the other three guys, and I forget the Portland fellow's name, unfortunately, but the other two guys from Canada were Mark and Jason. Now, to give you a picture of this, Kirk is kind of like Mr. Clean Cut, right? Like, you know, he's got the clean cut haircut and just all American boy. He's a dually. He's dual citizen, so I can call him an all American boy too, right? And then Mark, tall, about 6'2", has long, long straight hair, like Nuno Betancourt type hair, right? Long straight hair. And then Jason was kind of in between the two, kind of had somewhat, you know, long hair, wasn't, you know, so clean cut, but wasn't totally long hair, kind of in between the two. And it was one of those nights that was just, you know, fascinating conversation. You know, those times when you get to hang out with people and it's just wonderful conversation between Mark and I, or Kirk and I, discussing, you know, Canadian law and marijuana law and Oregon law. Jason turns out to be a hemp expert. And so he's talking about all these hemp processing technologies, and we're just all eating wings and having a good time, and they're drinking beers. And Mark, though, is kind of silent. Mark's kind of quiet. He says a couple of things, but he's just kind of quiet sitting there. And there's something about the guy. There's something about him that's just kind of tickling my subconscious, and I can't figure out what it is, right? But there's something about the guy. So we finish up our wings. And we've been talking over the wings and about Normal and all the stuff we did. And somehow I got on the subject of Dallas-Fort Worth Normal, DFW Normal. And I mentioned how I've been to Texas a few times and how I really think Texas is going to surprise people in its reform movement, that they've got a strong activist base. And you'd be surprised what's going to come out of Texas. And then I explained how my friends at DFW Normal, they have these events where they have, you know, open pot smoking, and it's hard to believe it's happening in Texas. And Kirk kind of turned to Mark and said, "Does that sound like your time in Dallas?" And Mark just kind of shakes his head, "No." And when he said that reference to Dallas, that little tickle in my subconscious got a little stronger. I'm like, what the hell is, what's bugging me about this guy? So we finished up the wings, and we decided that at that point it was time to retire back to Rolla J Studios for a very, very important briefing on the differences between occupational safety in Canada versus the United States. So we returned back to the house, and we're hanging out with Jason and Mark and Kirk. Their other friend went home, and my wife went to bed. And so the four of us are hanging out, talking as we would, and we get back into talking, and somewhere along the line, we're talking about football again. And they're asking me, because they had to come to my house. My house has a big Green Bay Packers flag on it, right? And so they're like, Kirk being the Lions fans, like, "Oh, we had to go to where the worst flag in the world is," right? So we end up getting back home, right? And we're hanging out, and we're talking more about Normal. And somehow we get to the subject where Mark talks about his work with Normal. And that's when that little itch in my subconscious became my jaw hitting the floor. And I said, you worked with Normal in Texas? And he says, yeah, I was like the president for 2002 and 2003. And that's when it hit me. Sitting in my living room, hanging out with me, was two-time Super Bowl champion, five-time Pro Bowler, and member of the NFL's 1990s all-decade team, former Dallas Cowboys center, Mark Stepnoski. I was just stunned. And I hope it didn't show on my face because like I went from just having casual conversation to being like fanboy. Like, holy shit, there's a Super Bowl champion in my house. Holy shit. And so the conversation then started merging onto the NFL and the suspensions. And you know, we talked a little bit about Tom Brady and Deflategate. We talked a little bit about, you know, the suspensions for players smoking pot being the same, you know, 4 games for smoking pot or 4 games for cheating in the championship game. And we talked about players and their use of cannabis and how he knew so many players that did it, how he did it, how it's, you know, just a crime to not have a vaporizer in every NFL locker room, how the NFL is changing all its rules on hitting and tackling that are making the game actually more dangerous. It was just one of my favorite nights ever. I was just so thrilled that, and to think that I'd just been sitting there at the wing place, you know, having no clue who I was sitting there with. I was totally fanboyed. You know what a big NFL fan I am. And so the capping moment of the night was when, you know, we'd been meeting for quite a while discussing the differences in safety occupations between Canada and occupational safety regulations between Canada and the United States, that our mouths had become dry. And so I offered the gentlemen all something to drink, and Mark asked for water, and I couldn't resist, folks. I brought it to him in a Green Bay Packers cup, and he drank it.
Five of the last 9 major party candidates to run for president, 3 of the last 9 vice presidential candidates, and the last 3 two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Four 20 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
I know of no instance in my entire career where someone was acting out under the influence of marijuana. People under the influence of alcohol are much more problematic. Law enforcement officials have more important things to do with their time than arresting people for marijuana possession. They need to be there to protect the public, to respond to crimes such as robbery, burglaries, rape, and murders. Our state cannot afford to keep arresting people and putting them in jail for marijuana possession. It's time for a more sensible approach.
Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Welcome back, everyone. Still on cloud 9 from last night's events. It was just really, really cool, I gotta tell you. And just a couple of trivia things on Mark Stepnoski. He was named to the Pennsylvania All-Century Team for high school football, right? The All-Century Team for the 20th century. In 100 years, he was one of the best players in Pennsylvania. But when he came out as a marijuana supporter and he came out as a normal activist, his high school Cathedral Preparatory School in Erie, Pennsylvania, rescinded his nomination to that school's Athletic Hall of Fame. How sad is that? You stand up for something you believe in, and even though you're one of the best high school players of the century, you can't be in your high school's Hall of Fame. Now, as he mentioned it to me, it was a Catholic, the Catholic one, so Catholic school. So you can kind of understand how that would happen. But he immigrated to Canada after that and has been living there ever since. So that's how he came into contact with Kirk and thus into contact with me. I kind of teased the story today on Twitter. I teased Engayo and Bacon Dan about this. Because the two Super Bowls that Mark Stepnoski won, I got to thinking, wait a minute, I think one of those years the Cowboys beat the Packers in the playoffs. And indeed, that was the case. Dallas beat Green Bay 27-17 in the divisional playoffs in 1993. So, yeah, so Stepnoski was part of the group that stopped Brett Favre that year. But it goes out worse to Bacon Dan and Engayo. Bacon Dan, of course, is a Buffalo Bills fan, and the two Super Bowls that the Cowboys won with Mark Stepnoski were those two Super Bowls where they were beating the Buffalo Bills 30-13 one year and 52-17 the following year. That was the previous year. That 50-17 year was the year that Buffalo had the biggest comeback in NFL playoff history, a game they still call the comeback. So I was hanging out with somebody who broke Bacon Dan's heart twice in the playoffs in the 90s. And then Engayo, he's a big San Francisco 49ers fan. Both NFC championships that Mark Stepnoski won on the way to the Super Bowl, they beat the Dallas Cowboys. And yeah, it was a long, long time ago. But It was really cool, man. It was really cool. It was my little brush with celebrity and I don't usually get too starstruck in this movement and what's going on, but that one caught me out of left field because I was so unprepared for who it was. I mean, I figured I'd meet him someday somewhere, but I imagine I'll have a worse reaction if I get the chance to meet Willie Nelson. I sure hope that happens sometime soon. All right, we got some stories coming up here for the rest of the show. Also coming up next, Electric Tuesday's Daily Toker Tune. Electric Bob will be calling in. We've got some new music for you. But also, I want to talk about the most and least expensive states to buy marijuana. Where do you think the most expensive weed is in the United States? Where do you think the least expensive weed is in the United States? We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, a look back north at Washington State, where the police there are beginning undercover sting operations, and international news from South Africa, where you'll just have to listen to the story when we get to it, because it's a pretty good story. One of the leading legalizers in the country lit up a joint on screen during a debate during one of their news shows. So things are happening all over the world when it comes to marijuana legalization. And I really do believe that we have lit the fire, so to speak, underneath the rest of the world. As our drug laws change, as our marijuana laws change throughout our states, it becomes harder and harder for the U.S.'s hard line on absolute cannabis prohibition to remain. The states now, the other countries, I should say, the other countries now say, how can you tell us to keep marijuana illegal when you're not even keeping it illegal in your own states? And this wall is tumbling down right before us. We are living in one of the greatest eras in American history. We are witnessing a rebirth in civil liberties, in cognitive liberties, in bodily sovereignty, as people understand that the war on drugs has very little to do with drugs and everything to do with controlling the human population. Well, Well, there you go. That bell means it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to have another safety meeting. You can never be too safe. Electric Bob with Electric Tuesday when we come back.
Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National, Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for the Daily Toker Tunes. Unfortunately, Electric Bob wasn't able to call in today, but we do have the new tune ready for you. It's from Dubots, and it's entitled Get the Feeling on Tesseract Recordings. Enjoy. Thank you.
20 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
Funky Roller Room.
Oh, yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's amazing to consider that I'm holding in my hands the place where someone once felt, thought, and loved for centuries. Scientists have been battling to understand what this unappealing object is all about. What the object is all about.
But here is this mass of jelly you can hold in the palm of your hand.
Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ hanging out here at Roller J Studios. That's music from Symphony of Science, their auto-tune adventure. There's Carl Sagan, entitled Ode to the Brain. We love the science here at 420 Radio. And I got to check out, you know, symphonyofscience.com is the website, and they're always putting out new stuff. I haven't been there in a while. Let's see what they've got. If they've got any new stuff out there, we'll have to get that downloaded for another show. But you should check them out, symphonyofscience.com. They've got a bunch of albums out as well and a whole bunch of great videos. Check those out. Returning to the marijuana discussions today, since I've just pretty much worn out my football fanboy story, there's a great post up just today on Forbes.com. on the most and least expensive states to buy marijuana. This was sourced from the crowdsourcing website priceofweed.com, where people can anonymously submit the cost of the weed they just purchased. And it doesn't discriminate against where they're purchasing it, either the black market or legally through a dispensary. And when it comes to the lowest price for high quality marijuana in the entire United States, the winner is Portland, Oregon. That's right, Oregon as a whole, I should say. The entire state of Oregon has the lowest price, average price, for high-quality marijuana at $204 an ounce. And that comports pretty well with what I've found throughout this state. Really good marijuana, really low prices. Now, the other states where recreational marijuana is legal also have some of the lowest prices. $232 in Washington State, $243 in Colorado. In Alaska, it's $294, but I wouldn't discount that so much because the price of everything in Alaska is a whole lot more. But note that the $243 price for weed in Colorado is $1 higher than the $242 cost for weed in California. Goes to show that the legalization of marijuana does not necessarily lead to the best price, although I guess some people would say California's system is pretty damn close to legalization. Now, in another surprise, most of the states in the West, aside from Wyoming, feature prices of marijuana that are below $300 an ounce. Wyoming's at $314. The next highest would be Arizona at $298, and then both New Mexico and Utah at $286, and Idaho, surprisingly, $275, and Nevada, $265. Now, of course, Idaho is not a medical marijuana state, but its proximity to both Oregon and Washington state could be leading to a lower price for marijuana that is purchased in the state of Idaho. As you move farther east, though, the prices increase dramatically. Once you get to the east of Colorado, we see prices easily into the mid-$300 an ounce range. $351 in Oklahoma, $347 in Kansas, $333 in Nebraska, $360 in South Dakota, and the greatest cost for marijuana in the United States of America comes from the state of North Dakota, where an ounce of marijuana will cost you $387. Now, there is somewhat a correlation to what I call medical grow states and the cost of their marijuana. We already indicated how the recreational states have low costs, but again, the medical grow states, those are the medical marijuana states where patients can actually grow their own medicine. We find 242 California, 265 Nevada, 266 Montana, 286 New Mexico, 285 in Michigan. And the exception proving the rule here is Arizona. It's $298. Of all the states in the West, aside from Wyoming, Arizona's got the most expensive marijuana. And it's also got a situation where most people cannot grow their own medical marijuana. 97% of the population of Arizona is within that 25-mile halo where people are not allowed to grow their own medical marijuana. And then looking at other medical marijuana states in the Northeast, for example, Vermont, where they're only allowed to grow two mature plants, $367 for an ounce of weed. The highest price for weed in the Northeast is in a medical marijuana state in Vermont. Maine, which is right nearby, has a price of $305 an ounce. And of course, Maine allows far more cultivation of marijuana plants. It seems to me from looking at this data that the states where marijuana cultivation is more prevalent are the states with the lowest prices of marijuana, irrespective of their medical marijuana laws or their recreational marijuana laws. And a proof of that can be found in the state of Florida, where all of the rest of the states in the South have marijuana prices approaching $330, $340, even $350. In Florida, the price of an ounce of marijuana is $299. It's a price on par with the Western states for marijuana. Is that because there's more marijuana supply in Florida? It's certainly not friendly marijuana laws in the state of Florida. So the range we have in the United States, $204 for an ounce of high-quality marijuana in Oregon, $387 an ounce for the same high-quality marijuana in North Dakota. As we continue to move marijuana legalization and decriminalization eastward across this country, you will see those prices fall across the country. Oregon is going to lead that charge by bottoming out the price of marijuana through massive, massive production. And as that price continues to drop, the entire black market continues to drop, and the prices will drop near you. In other words, you're welcome, America. All right, I want to get to another story that caught my eye today. This comes from the UK Telegraph reporting on world news in South Africa. And recently on South Africa's SABC, which is their state broadcaster, their state-run news channel, a cannabis activist lit up a joint during a live debate about legalization in front of the deputy chairman of the Central Drug Authority. This guy lit up a joint basically while their country's deputy drug czar was in a debate with him. The man's name is André Duplessis, and he was participating in an interview from a mobile studio in the port city of Durban, and was complaining that the deputy drug czar was making excuses and then put a joint between his lips and began puffing away. Of course, we just have the audio of that, but if you listen closely, you'll be able to hear the flick of the bic. Listen.
I'm not going to debate that with André because he knows very well that this is just taking advantage of the advantage that he might have in terms of spreading his own propaganda. The bottom line is that we are dealing with it. The bottom line is that we are concerned about it. The bottom line is that we also have a responsibility to ensure that whatever decisions are taken are based on scientific evidence that is available, for which we have employed the researchers to do the necessary for us.
All right. Well, Andrew, I'm not sure if you have any closing comments.
I think that's all I've got to say.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us in studio today. I'm sure this, as we know, is a discussion that we're going to continue having on Newsroom.
So in the video, Andre Duplessis is in a big screen in between the woman anchor and the deputy drug czar. And so he's full frame, lighting up the joint, taking a big drag, blowing the smoke into the camera. It's just and they lingered on him as he's taking off his mic and still holding the joint. You could see the look of shock on the face of the female news anchor. The deputy drug czar was pretty nonplussed by it. He didn't really react much at all. After this aired on South African television, he appeared on another South African broadcaster. This was ENCA, and I don't know what that stands for, but he confirmed that the joint contained dacha, which, of course, dacha is the South African term for marijuana. According to the report in the UK Telegraph, he expressed his frustration at the government dragging out the issue of cannabis legalization, which has been ongoing in South Africa for several years, saying, quote, government bureaucracy, they're not actually dealing with the situation, which is cannabis, and the reality of the cannabis situation in South Africa. I'm done talking, hey? The reality is with cannabis is that people smoke it, and I did. And asked to confirm that he was smoking during the interview, he said, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to admit it. The research has been done. There's no need to continue talking because we know what we need to do. The spin by, well, their drug czar's office, and the Department of Health, they're just dragging this thing out while the rest of the world moves on. Colorado and Washington are making billions a year in the cannabis issue, and South Africa is losing out, end quote. Now, not billions a year, but, you know, hundreds of millions. Definitely making hundreds of millions a year in the cannabis issue. Now, this is a brave move by Andre Duplessis because possession of cannabis in South Africa is currently punishable by a fine and or up to 2 years imprisonment. He could have gotten 2 years for that stunt that he pulled. And to me, he goes into the Hall of Fame with Charlo Green up there in Alaska. You know, just making a very public, mainstream media Howard Beale moment. You remember Howard Beale from Network? I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And that's just becoming the refrain now. We're getting to the point where as marijuana activists, we don't need to be second fiddle anymore. We don't need to take a backseat to anyone, and we don't need to hide our usage of cannabis anymore. And these kind of civil disobedience actions, when we know now a majority of our fellow countrymen agree with us on legalization, I believe these actions need to be taken more often. And I might be just the kind of guy to pull one of those stunts one of these days. We'll just see how that turns out. All right, stick around. We got more marijuana news stories coming up for you here in our final segment of Toker Talk Radio. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420 Radio.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
There's a question that troubles us all. From the time we are first able to think. And that is, where did we come from? And this question is so compelling that we've invented the science of astronomy. We've discovered these natural laws so that we can learn more about our origin and where we came from. This is what drives us. This is what we want to know. Let's keep looking. Let's keep searching.
Welcome back, everyone. That's Bill Nye, the Science Guy, with The Joy of Discovery. That's another one of those Melody Sheep remixes. You can get those through the Melody Sheep YouTube page if you're into that geeky scientific stuff like I am. But welcome back. We're going to talk a little bit about marijuana and, another one of these sad stories of someone being killed over a plant. It comes from Phoenix, Arizona, Tempe, Arizona, where Tempe police officers shot and killed a medical marijuana provider back in 2013. And the more I read about this story, the more unsettling it becomes. First unsettling thing about this happened in 2013. And we don't know the names of the police officers who killed this man. Now, the governor, just in March, vetoed a bill to allow police departments to withhold the names of officers involved in shootings for 2 months. They haven't released the names of these officers for over 2 years. And there's question as to whether or not they have the legal right to not release the names of these cops. But, you know, it's going to take time to get that through courts and so forth. So in the meantime, 2 years later, we don't know who the cops are that killed John Wheelahan. Now, according to the cop's story, when they busted Wheelahan at his grow, he pointed a scoped rifle at them. And they had no choice but to gun him down in his home. Of course, this scoped rifle turned out to be a pellet gun. That's right. The cop's story is that this grower came out to fight against the cops with a pellet gun. That's the story. And the Phoenix New Times, which is the news source that I'm getting this story from, has still been filing open records requests and trying to get more information of this, but nothing in the official police reports makes much sense about why why would this father with two young boys ignore police orders and decide to take a pellet gun out to confront the police. Now, what this all involved was the fact that he moved to Arizona in 2010 when the medical marijuana law passed, and he's a photographer, but he's not being able to pay all the bills as a photographer, so he decides he's going to start serving medical marijuana patients. He grew a bunch of marijuana in Tempe for patients who live 25 miles or further from a state dispensary. Remember, that's the law in Arizona. They got the 25-mile halo. If you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, you have to shop there. But for the patients who are farther than 25 miles, which again is less than 3% of the people in Arizona, but if they are farther than that, you can legally be a caregiver and grow for them. Well, ac- according to this story, he was serving locals. He wasn't. He was ignoring the 25-mile halo and was advertising on Facebook and Craigslist and other sites. Now, under the law in Arizona for their medical marijuana law, they've got the dispensaries, but it's an open question as to whether patient-to-patient sales are illegal. Some think that since they weren't made legal, they're still illegal under the old felony criminal laws. And the judicial system, though, in Arizona hasn't yet had cases to decide this. Now, last year, in July, there was a Pima County Superior Court judge who tossed out a criminal case, ruling that the law was so vague and poorly written that patient-to-patient sales are, in fact, legal. The Pima County Attorney's Office has appealed, and they're going to the appeals court tomorrow in Tucson. So that may be a case that decides whether or not these patient-to-patient sales, which John Wheelahan was killed by police over, whether or not they're actually legal. Now, the Tempe police, of course, don't agree, and the Arizona State University police, who helped start the investigation, don't agree. The Arizona State Police got a complaint in 2013 that he was advertising marijuana for sale, so ASU police and Tempe police tried to do a setup. They used some fake Facebook sites and called Wheelahan trying to get $200 worth of sour diesel. And the cops bungled this so-called sting so badly that Wheelahan was well on to what they were up to and called them out on it. On his Facebook page, he posted, and this was after he went to meet them for this buy, right? He wrote, quote, "So a random guy contacted me for legal medical marijuana today. He said he got my card from the farmer's market. I have never been to a farmer's market. So the guy sends me his card and I agree to meet him at the grow store that's at McClintock and Broadway. I roll up on my bicycle to check things out first and see an undercover hanging out in a gold Chevy SUV. Then I see another unmarked squad car circling around the side parking lot. I proceeded to leave the area as fast as I could. Coincidence or setup? Motherfuckers have to be slicker than that if they want to get me, LOL." And then after that, he said he's not taking on any new patients. And, you know, basically, they were mocking the cops. And another friend of his put a comment up, "Undercover Department 0, Medicine Provider 1. And another, and Wheelahan replied, "Be careful, folks. They're definitely out there trying to get us small guys." So the question that's being asked is, was the Facebook post mocking the cops a motivator for the cops to be all pissed off and want to get him after that? They continued their surveillance for a while and eventually got a search warrant and did a SWAT team and got ready for a SWAT team style tactical response at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They had heavily armed officers and sergeants, black clothing and bullet resistant vests with the word police on them, surrounded his home. And one of the unnamed detectives who took part in the raid told an investigator he knew almost nothing about Wheelahan, but the tactical response was used, quote, "because most of the time there are handguns, other firearms, and a potential for violence when serving narcotics warrants," end quote. The cops parked the squad car on his driveway with the red and blue lights flashing. They yelled through a PA system for anyone in the house to come out with their hands up. They could see him moving inside the windows. They detonated a flashbang grenade. When he wouldn't come out, a smaller group of cops broke down the glass front door and charged inside. At roughly the same time, observers barked into the radio that Wheelahan had exited into the backyard and was holding a rifle with a large scope. The entry team hightailed it back out the front door. Police yelled at Wheelahan to drop the weapon. Nobody but the two officers who shot Wheelahan saw what happened next. Of course, they don't have any body cams in Tempe, although they're starting to test them now, so there's no video evidence. One of the officers crouching behind a car could see Wheelahan through a gate. He fired twice, saying later he saw Wheelahan point the rifle at him. Wheelahan was hit at least once by a bullet and fell, but he retrieved the dropped rifle, got up, and headed for one of the backyard gates. A second unnamed officer, also standing outside the backyard, said he fired at least 4 shots after Wheelahan pointed the rifle at him. A neighbor told police about 30 seconds elapsed before each of the 4 shots. Wheelahan's weapon turned out to be a pellet gun. They did find a Glock 9mm in his bedroom later. And it's just very odd. Now, they did find 11 pounds of marijuana and 25 grams of hashish in the home. And more than 20 top quality strains of marijuana in labeled jars. So, he's dead. Thanks to the SWAT raid and the overkill in the response to that. And his mother, of course, is skeptical of the official police story. She says John used the pellet gun to scare away birds from a vegetable garden in the backyard and can't imagine why he'd try to scare police with it. It's just very sad in this situation. And once again, illustrates that we have a shoot first, ask questions later mentality among our police. And this thing about, well, you know, we've got to go in with our body armor and our guns because sometimes there's violent reactions from these people. You have to start asking, why do you suppose these people are reacting violently? Because you accuse them of crimes for which they can lose everything. They can go to prison for decades. And then you come at them with violence. It's gotten to the point where for many of these people, they might as well go out in a blaze of glory rather than expect the justice system to treat them fairly for engaging in what are consensual activities between adults. Now, there's an update on the story explaining why they're keeping the names of the officers secret. Let's see if we can find any of this in here. Doesn't say why. Anyway, we'll keep updating this story as we get more information on it. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community, including, cross your fingers, Doug Fine with our Hemp Day Hump Day update. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Stay tuned and catch my appearance on the Dan Veets Show in Missouri coming up next.